Thank you, Mark. I hadn't intended to, but it was brought to my attention that we only come here once a year at the very most, not always every year. And a lot of you don't really know Judy and I, don't know who we are. So I thought I'd give us a little bit of an introduction. And Mark just let the cat out of the bag where we live. I was going to say we live somewhere in Washington, as Pam said earlier. And I know a lot of you people think of Washington. You've seen the scenes of Seattle, all the water, all the green trees, all the rain. Well, we live on the east side of the mountains. We live on the edge of massive wheat country. We're not right in it, but we only have to drive about 5 miles and we're in wheat fields. And the name of our place, Cooley Dam, was built specifically for the making of Grand Cooley Dam, which is the largest concrete dam in the United States. Up until about 15 years ago or so, it was the largest concrete dam in the world, but we lost that designation. We lived in the Portland-Vancouver area for about 35 years, retired from the highway department, and I retired on a Friday, and we moved to Cooley Dam and got settled in on a Sunday. And we've been there now for about 5 years, and we just love it. It's a small town. We've got to know a lot of people. About the only drawback to the place that we can see, besides maybe a little bit harsher winter than we're used to, is that we don't have a church to attend. We have to, we did for a couple of years, we were able to attend a home church. And that was great, but then things changed with that and we're not able to attend with them often at all. It's almost non-existent now. We do have a Bible study group that we attend. It's I would say, you know, very, very Protestant. It's good to fellowship with Christian thinking people, but it just really is not the same. But we do that, and it is nice to fellowship. And there's many differences of personalities and people there. And so we really do appreciate the CD program and the newsletters as well. It's our lifeline. And we have noticed the improvements in the CD program as well. You know, the pictures on the CD. It's really nice to have a picture of somebody when you're hearing the message, you know, because we only see you once a year, you know, and the memory of a face can really disappear in a year's time. And that's if we make it here every year. And the introductory music that comes on the CD as well. That's nice. So we do appreciate it. I know it's gone on and Wes has said it. Thank you for all that. But you know, I just had to say that we do really appreciate it. If you like titles, the title of my talk today is Spiritual Health. Early this spring, my left leg was starting to give me some problems, starting to give me some pain. It was about the middle of the thigh, clear down to the knee, and I would say it was some kind of a muscular pain. I really couldn't tell. It was kind of a dull ache, and it would come and go. I was bowling, and some nights after I would bowl 3 games, it would just be excruciating. I started taking aspirin before I'd go bowling, you know, just to alleviate the pain. And sometimes when I was walking, we have a bridge in our town, and we can walk across the bridge to shop and come back, and it's only probably a mile there and back. And sometimes coming back across the bridge, my leg would just ache. You know, I was sometimes wondering if I would even make it back home. So, and whenever something like this happens to me, and it, probably you're the same way, I'm thinking, oh, what could I have done? you know, to cause this. You know, it goes through my mind a lot. You know, I'm not kind of a wimp or something and think about it continually, but, you know, something like that happens, and I say, well, could I have bumped it, or did I overdo somewhere? And I thought, well, was it the bowling? No, I've been bowling for 4 or 5 months already. You know, that shouldn't have done it. I'd taken a stretching class, and I am really tight. I mean, and not monetarily either. Well, that too. But what I mean is, I'm not referring to that at this point. All my life, my joints, limbs have been really, really kind of tight, and I've never really done much, to alleviate that. But anyway, I had this opportunity to take a stretching class for nearly a month, and I was working pretty hard on my legs, trying to get more mobility and better stretch. So I thought, well, could it have been that? That was so long ago, and actually it had felt good. Maybe it was quitting stretching, you know. So all these things going through my head. We had a long road trip that we took. We helped some people move their car from Portland area to Dallas, Texas. A lot of hours in the car on the road. And, well, maybe that could have done it. Stress, perhaps. We went through quite a bit of stress during that time. Judy's dad was sick and eventually died. Yeah. But I don't think I'm really prone to stress problems anyway. Now, one thing in the back of my mind that was really kind of bothering me was that 9 years ago, I had had a hip replacement in my right hip. And prior to that, for about 13 years, I experienced a lot of pain in my hip, and also it would kind of transmit down into my knee. I thought there for a while that maybe I had knee problems, not hip problems. And, you know, this is all self-diagnosis, you know. So anyway, in the back of my mind was that, and I said to myself, I really don't want to have another hip replacement. I may have to someday, but I don't want to. Well, anyway, the weather got better, and I started going out in the yard, and I had quite a few projects to do that were quite strenuous. And my leg was still bothering me, but I got out there and I started doing some stuff. I had a trench to dig for some irrigation pipe. Had to do an addition to that. A wheelbarrow. I was wheeling gravel from the front of the house in the street all the way down to the backyard. We were filling in this area that we wanted to have gravel bed there. And I was building a storage shed. Not all these at the same time, but spread over a period of time. Anyway, I was working my legs pretty good. And after a few weeks of this hard work, I noticed that my leg was getting stronger and the pain was going away. And my conclusion is that I had let myself get weak. And what I really needed was more exercise, not rest. And that I was neglecting my health earlier. I think I disillusioned myself through the winter time. It seemed like we had to shovel snow almost every other day, and I probably was thinking, "Well, I'm doing my thing here. I'm getting my exercise," but I think not. And neglecting your health is easy to do. It really can sneak up on you. Well, we're physical human beings, and we have a pretty good handle on what physical health is. We know quite a bit about proper diet, exercise, safety procedures. Even if we don't always follow those things, we know quite a bit about it. We don't have quite as much understanding about mental health. In fact, many people are unaware of it when they have a mental health problem. It's a good thing that there are people that are trained to help us when we have those kind of problems. But there has been some progress made to identify diets, supplements, so on, to enhance mental health, as well as activities that can help your stimulate your brain and improve memory or problem-solving abilities. But what about spiritual health? How much do we know about that? Can we neglect it? Can we rebuild or strengthen it? Today I will try to define spiritual health and explore ways in which we can improve and maintain it. If you go to Strong's Concordance, you'll find that there is no entry for spiritual health. One of the reasons for that is Strong's only does single words. There's no phrases in Strong. But I did the next best thing. I went to Strong's and I looked up the word spiritual and checked to see if there was any instances where health directly followed spiritual. There wasn't. Just in case, I went to health and looked to see if there was any words that preceded health or any spirit, any instances of spiritual that preceded health, and there wasn't. And I knew that, but I had to look there anyway. But by looking in 1 Corinthians at a few scriptures that I did find listed under the word spiritual, I think we can get a sense of the term spiritual health. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, I'm going to break in sort of in the middle here, where it says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God revealed it to us by His Spirit." What this is saying is there's information that we cannot know unless God reveals it. There's no other way. I want you to hold your place here. I'm saying this now because I will forget to tell you that in a minute if I don't. And I'm going to read the rest of this here in the rest of verse 10 down through 14. "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, unless that man has the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words." Now, verse 14. "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So in defining spiritual health, I'm going to say that the possession of the Holy Spirit is required. And that's kind of a no-brainer. It is a must. Without the Holy Spirit, you have no spiritual health. You don't just have fair spiritual health or even poor spiritual health. You have no spiritual health. I'm going to read verse 14 again. "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them." He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Some have said that a person either possesses the Holy Spirit or they don't, that there are no varying degrees. Please turn with me to 2 Kings 2, verse 9. In 2 Kings 2, verse 9, this is talking about Elijah and Elisha. And to me, this indicates that maybe there is some variance in the Holy Spirit. It could be. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elijah replied. And Elijah went on to say, well, that's a tough thing to ask, but if you see me go up, it'll be granted. And then also going back to 1 Corinthians, where I ask you to hold your place. We'll be going to 1 Corinthians 3 now, which is almost where we were. In 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 1 through 3, I think, says, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since..." Okay, that's where I want to stop. It appears to me that Paul was talking to church brethren, people who had the Holy Spirit, but were not exercising it, or for some reason did not have a very full measure of Holy Spirit. I think this is another instance where it shows that perhaps the Holy Spirit is a varying thing. But regardless, I look at spiritual health not so much as a portion of spirit that can ebb and flow, but rather as a commitment, a determination, a promise, a willingness to employ the Spirit according to God's purpose for us. For God's purpose for us as a church, and for God's purpose for us individually. Spiritual health is more of an attitude. It's a desire to be close to God, to be in tune with God, wanting to communicate with Him, knowing that He has our best interests at heart. Good physical health is a blessing that most of us take for granted when we're young. We really can't foresee any or imagine anything but what we are experiencing at the time. I mean, you think about when you were in your teenage years or in your 20s, and if somebody said that, you know, when you're 60, you're going to have aches and pains, you know, and you know, you're not going to have the strength that you have now. We can't foresee that when we're young. With good health, you look good, you feel good. There's a certain efficiency of the body. You know, it performs. It performs without aching, without losing strength, without tiring quite so much. Think about young kids, 8-year-olds or so. They can play and play and play all day long, till, you know, and they never want to quit. Finally, they crash. You know, they have to get their sleep. But the next day, they're out there again doing the same thing. I mean, they have so much energy. And when disease or injury happens, when we're in good health, recovery is so much easier and quicker. Good health can also contribute to success and status. Good health is a good thing. With good spiritual health, we also look good and feel good. That probably comes from a positive attitude that we have when we are in good spiritual health. With good spiritual health, our problems are easier to handle, and there's fewer of them. And maybe the reason there's fewer of them is because we don't look at things so much as problems when we're in good spiritual health. When you have good spiritual health, you have the words and oftentimes the actions to help someone in need. In short, you have help. You have help from the Holy Spirit, and we're not alone. Even though age seems to be a big factor, we can improve and maintain good physical health. But it does take work and determination. It's the same with spiritual health. It too can be improved with work and determination. And age is not a detriment. In fact, age might even be a plus with spiritual health. Some people are born with good genes and are healthy all their life without much effort. I think about George Burns, who has reportedly smoked a cigar every day of his life. And did he make 100? I don't remember. Okay, yeah. He made 100 years old, you know, and I don't know what the rest of his lifestyle was like. You know, I didn't pay that much attention to it, but it did seem like he must have had some good genes to have lived that long and been able to do what he did. So we can be okay with spiritual help. It's more of a level playing field. All of us who are called have equal access to the Holy Spirit. Now think of these scenarios. There's a 33-year-old man. He's lifted weights since he was in high school. He bench presses, he curls, he does squats. He does all of those things. I mean, he runs the whole gamut of weightlifting exercise. He has a specific weekly regimen. He seldom misses a workout. There's a 17-year-old girl who's been practicing gymnastics since she was 11. And she's now training to be in the Olympics. And a 52-year-old man who 6 years ago took up running and now competes in about 5 or 10K races each year and always places in the top 10%. Which one has good physical health? If you answered all of your right, a person can arrive at good physical health in many, many different ways. And what works for the weightlifter won't necessarily work for the runner or the gymnast. We are all humans, but we are all so very different. When we look at the universe, we can see that God creates with variety. Think about all of the animals, insects, plants, all of the differences that God has created. And all of those seem to work together. And they interact with us as well. Think what would happen if we lost our pollinators for our fruit. You know, we'd be without fruit. You know, and that's not the only thing. I mean, it's fragile. We depend on God's varied creation. And I recently watched a CD that explained that atoms, which we once thought were the basic building blocks of all matter, are actually different from one another. So the farther we go into how small things are and the farther we go up into the universe and see how vast things are, the more we see how God is such a creator with variety. In building and maintaining spiritual health, there is no one right way. There is no formula. But we are given some tools to employ, and they all have to do with communicating with God, drawing near to Him, building and strengthening our relationship with Him. The first step to any change is realizing and admitting that we need to change. The same is with spiritual health. If our spiritual health is in need of improvement, then we need to recognize that we need to change. Generally, change is hard. In my experience, I would almost say generally, people don't change. It's so much easier for us to see the need for change in other people and not so much the need for change in ourselves. But think about some people that you've known, and I know you've known them. You've known some people who smoke and won't stop. And they're killing themselves. And they continue and continue and continue. I have a sister who is diabetic. and she is making a lot of wrong choices. I mean, she knows she's diabetic. She knows that she has to do certain things, but she's making so many wrong choices, and it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch. I knew a girl in high school who dated a very jealous boy. And she was a fun-loving person, and she would like to socialize. But if she would get in, you know, with a group of people and talking to boys, say, if this fella came along, you know, he would get upset. And she got to the point where, you know, she's always looking over her shoulder. You know, she didn't want to not socialize, but she didn't want to upset her boyfriend. Well, she ended up marrying this fellow. And 30 years later, at a reunion, it was the same thing all over again. She was always looking over her shoulder. She was feeling like she couldn't socialize. She was trapped. Anyway, change is hard. However, we have the Holy Spirit that nudges us, reminds us. We get that feeling that something is not quite right. And we need to respond to that feeling and take the next step. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 12 to 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13. And that next step, after we have seen that we need to make a change, is captured here in Jeremiah 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then also I'd like to turn to James 4, verse 8, which is very much the same scripture. James 4, verse 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So that was what we need to do. We need to take that next step and draw close to God. And we do that by using those tools that I was talking about. And what are those tools? You all know them. First one I'm going to talk about is prayer. Talking to God on a one-to-one basis, telling him your problems, your worries, your fears, asking for his help, asking him to forgive your sins and to change you. There's also Bible study. Bible study is one of God's way of talking to us. I read a daily Bible. I go through it in 1 year. And I'm amazed each year that there are these new scriptures that pop up in it. Each time I read it, you know, each time I go through it, there's something that I see that I didn't see before. I see it in a different way. I think God focuses our attention on what we need. And he turns a Bible study, which is kind of everybody has access to a Bible. It's kind of a public source. But God turns that into a personal communication for each one of us. He focuses our attention on what he wants us to see. There is also worship, expressing to God what we appreciate, that we appreciate who he is and what he does for us. There's fellowship with like-minded Christians. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in each person, God is essentially communicating to us through the brethren. Because he's using the Holy Spirit to communicate to each one of us. So when we get together as a group, it is so important, you know, when we can converse and utilize that Holy Spirit. And that is one of the things Judy and I miss so much about where we are now and the situation we're in, is that we don't get that kind of fellowship. There's also meditation. Now, I don't believe I've ever sat down and said I'm going to meditate for 30 minutes and was successful at it. But I have had times when a lot of biblical thoughts have gelled when I was doing something kind of mindless, like mowing the lawn or showering, walking. And maybe that's not meditation. Maybe it's revelation. But anyway, it's a tool. I use it. And each individual will use these tools and others that I haven't even mentioned in varying ways. Remember, there is no formula that fits everyone. We're all very different. I'd like to say at this point that having periods of diminished Holy Spirit, spiritual health, periods of diminished spiritual health, it's not unusual, and I don't think it's bad. And we shouldn't get down or beat ourselves up. It's just like the weightlifter. The weightlifter has good days and bad days. He doesn't lift the same amount of weight or the same repetitions every time. He has good days. Some days it's just like, why did I bother working out? You know, same thing with a runner. You know, runner will keep increasing his times, going on and on, you know, just saying, oh wow, some days, you know, just like flying over the ground. And then they'll hit a plateau. And it's really tough for some runners to break through that plateau. But it can be done. With perseverance and working through the flat spots, they emerge even stronger because of that. Let's go to Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1, and we're going to go to verse 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. We really need these weaker periods of time so that we will exercise the Holy Spirit and emerge even stronger, with even stronger spiritual health. I received an email 3 or 4 weeks ago, and in it was a piece that was written obviously by a Christian person, and it was written concerning an attack on the Christian church by secular humanism and Islam. Now, this doesn't particularly it pertained to that problem of the attack on the church. But I think it's appropriate for all Christians at any time, including those of us who need to improve our spiritual health. So I'm going to read this tract, and I apologize that I don't have any reference for it. It didn't come with it, so I don't have anything. Anyway, here goes. The question is, what can we do about it? And the it, in this case, let's think about our spiritual health not being up to snuff. What can we do about it? The answer is simple. Think about it like you're standing on the banks of a raging river that you have no choice but to cross, because the forest behind you is burning, and in moments the flames will reach the spot you're standing on. Standing next to you is Jesus, the only one who can hope to get across the river alive. You can grab onto his hand, and he might be able to pull you through that way. Or you can climb up on his shoulders, wrap your arms and legs around him, and hold on with everything you have. Let me give you some practical tips about how to employ this second method if you desire to employ it. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you should do is pray and read a portion of Scripture. If you don't have time in the morning to do this, start setting your alarm clock to wake you up sooner. Pray every morning for the physical protection and spiritual salvation of yourself and everyone you love. Pray for wisdom for those who are in authority, your pastor, the mayor of the town you live in, the president or prime minister of your country, etc. Pray for the soldiers and police who protect you. Pray for the teachers at your kid's school, or pray for the teachers if you're a kid. Pray for your boss at work. Pray against the plans of the enemy. And pray for Israel, because this country is not just any country. This country is the linchpin of God's plan for the hope and salvation and future of every man, woman, and child on earth, including the Arabs and Palestinians. That's how you communicate with God, through prayer. The way He communicates with you is through His Word. So read a portion every day. It says, I recommend you buy a one-year Bible, which makes it easy to read a portion every day. Finally, be in constant communication with other believers. This is how you reinforce and strengthen each other. If you don't attend a Bible-believing congregation, start. If you already attend one, start attending the Bible study and prayer meetings. If you don't have time for that, start getting rid of the other things in your life which are eating up your time and not helping you in your relationship with Him. Maybe you think you're such a strong believer that you don't need this, and maybe you're right. But there are other people who need you to lend them your strength. And if you're not there, they might fall away. So go and fellowship together and study His Word together and pray together and love one another as He has loved us. That is how we hold on to Him with everything we have, and that's how we'll make sure He'll get us through to the other side. So let's review a little bit. We said that spiritual health is an attitude, that it reflects how much we desire to partnership with God, to be on His wavelength, to do His will. We could say that spiritual health is a measure of the condition of a relationship with Him. And although I can't put a quantity on it, I can't say that my spiritual health today is 8 on a scale of 10. I can't put a quantity on it, but the Holy Spirit gives us feedback, letting us know when we're not measuring up. For one last scripture, I'm going to turn to Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. In Romans 8, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Yes, the Holy Spirit alerts us when we're falling short, when our spiritual health is failing, and it's up to us to use the tools to get back in shape. So how is your spiritual health? Have you evaluated it lately? Only you and God really know its condition. If you decide that that your spiritual health could use improvement, when do you think it would be a good time to start?